Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
This is October 29th, episode 112.
It is. I just love our little introduction.
You know,
I just think of myself as that little blob of light traveling through space. It's great.
And what I imagine, you know, like how in films, I don't know if this is how it is in real life, but when people like are traveling through a blizzard and they're like, I'm tired, I'm just gonna lay down for a second, and then they get all peaceful looking and they freeze to death. As I'm slowly freezing to death in a winter storm and that warm bliss goes through my body, I'm gonna hear that song before I die.
There you go.
Which is to bring up this the theme of this episode is out in the cold. Well, I guess we should introduce ourselves.
We should.
I'm Mark Van Studek. I'm the director for the Center for Prophetic Imagination.
And I'm Daniel Wolpert. I direct MICA, the Minnesota Institute of Contemplation and Healing. And yeah, good morning to our friends who are saying good morning to us.
Kathleen,
and to all our other friends. Gus,
everyone else.
Yeah, everyone else. And, I was thinking the other day about something really important. It is, what happens with surveillance when the robot birds migrate?
Do they migrate? I always thought.
Well, we see birds migrating, right? But we know they're all robots.
Some not stay real. Around, right? Like things like cardinals.
Well, maybe.
I think what they do is they assume that more surveyable stuff happens outside in warm weather. So most of them do migrate. But then there are still some robot cardinals that exists spying through windows. That's why you ever notice, like, you only ever see cardinals when you're looking out your kitchen window. It's because they're always spying through your windows.
Ooh, there we go.
Cardinals.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we have a pair of robot bird cardinals that live on our property here, and they leave. They don't stick around in the winter. They leave, and then they come back every spring. A couple.
I guess it shows my knowledge of bird migrations that I just assume that cardinals are just hanging out all winter.
But I guess that's one benefit for the surveillance state in terms of climate change, is that they don't have to make the robot birds leave to make it seem like they're still behaving like real birds.
Have you thought that climate change? Okay, so maybe climate change, the conspiracy isn't that it's fake. The conspiracy is that the government is causing it intentionally so that they can have robot birds all year round without being suspicious.
That makes total sense.
You know?
Yeah.
If you think about it, then the robot birds conspiracy connects with climate change conspiracy, which connects with the underground sex trafficking, because that's how they keep people blackmailed to sticking with the conspiracy. Like, you can't tell anybody, oh, we're going to tell people you're drinking the blood of children.
There we go.
All connects. QAnon can fight it because our conspiracy theory just got better.
It all works. It all works. So, okay. I'm glad we've got that cleared up.
It's
been bothering me. So we're talking about winter, and it's not just because we're in Minnesota. And, you know, that's mostly what we talk about here in Minnesota, for those of you that don't live here.
Yeah,
we're talking, you know, this is really an amazing thing that happened the other day. Tuesday night. And this is a great thing about transmission. Like, we are up on every current event. This comes to you right away. So Tuesday night, you know, Trump's been zooming around and holding these rallies outdoors. Did you hear that he's been calling them positive protests? That's his excuse for why he can have these big gatherings and violate the local gathering laws, right? Because, you know, the Republicans, you know, are all pissed off that we're allowed to have protests, but we're not allowed to, you know, gather in churches. as if all these protests get permits or something. So, you know, all these protests are violating all of these, you know, COVID gathering laws, which, you know, Trump doesn't give a shit about. And so his way around those laws is he said they're not gatherings, they're protests.
He is such a fuckwit is the best thing. That's my favorite insult these days. Yes. It's calling someone a fuckwit.
So
this particular story, though, if there was a metaphor for his entire presidency, it is Tuesday night in Omaha.
It is this. So he's been having these gatherings at these little airfields.
He can just zoom in and out.
He can zoom in and out. Yeah. And they're also in small rural areas, you know, where his percentage of support is higher. So he had one outside of Omaha, and it's some little airfield in the middle of nowhere. And so people had to drive and park in this parking area several miles from the airport. Mm-hmm. And there were then buses to take them to the rally. You know, so that was great.
Board, that happens for all kinds of happens. Makes sense.
Yeah.
So far,
so they get to the rally. They do their Trump thing. You know, they have their little Trump orgasm, and then there are no buses to take them back to their cars.
And the thing is, just to give context, and this will be scary for most of you, but not for us in Minnesota, because this sounds nice. But it was 30 degrees, 27 with wind chill. So that means it was just below freezing and a slight breeze. Now, if I've been at real protests, not these positive protests, when it's that cold. And you're standing there. So your feet, the thing you notice first is your feet get really damn cold because even if you have really good boots on, you're stationary. The cold from the ground is coming up into your feet. It's painful. We know more than probably any president in my lifetime, Donald Trump is long-winded. Like he spends a long ass time saying very little. And so there's probably these elderly people with frozen feet listening this whole time. And all of a sudden now you have to walk 3 miles to get back to your car.
Right. And so all these people are standing there and there's no buses and they realize, okay, well, we got to walk. And you know, they start getting hypothermia and 7 people went to the hospital. And so if 7 people went to the hospital, you know that there were hundreds of others that were just like really miserable and cold.
I've read different accounts. Like apparently 30 people were in contact with the hospital. 7 people, I think, at some level were hospitalized that we know of. I would imagine the number might even be higher, but that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's actually a lot. I mean, I've heard of, we have massive ass protests in Minneapolis, like in the winter times it's happened where there might be 600-700 people and you don't ever hear about any of them going to the hospital and you're marching all downtown, you know, from like from the bus depot or something. And it's like 3 miles there and 2 miles back. So this is significant. Yeah. That's a significant number.
Yeah. So, you know, here you have a presidential campaign that is basically killing its own supporters.
And now this is where the metaphor becomes perfect because it's not only happening in the small sense, but it's a microcosm of the larger reality of the murderous nature of Trump. Cause he doesn't, this is the thing, like Dan and I were talking a little bit about this before. I don't think Donald Trump is like, how can I like fuck over my supporters? I really think that he and the campaign was like, we need to get people there. And then they don't think about what happens next because the goal is to get people there. The goal is not to how do they take care of their supporters. And so this is like an afterthought to take care of your supporters because your goal is to use them. You need to use them first. Now, but the problem is like, I mean, I've tried to read that. I don't read anything online about any of these folks getting really upset at Trump about this.
I don't know. No. And in fact, they blamed the local sheriff. They said, you know, there was like the roads were blocked, which of course is obviously a total lie because the buses got there to begin with. So the roads weren't blocked. And this was not the only time this happened. So over the weekend, there was a rally in North Carolina. The same thing happened. Now, in North Carolina, it wasn't as cold, so nobody got hypothermia. But these people had to walk miles back to their car. And, you know, really, to me, what this shows as much as anything is how, in so many ways, how the Trump phenomenon is really like a cult. Right. And, you know, people have talked about this. We've talked about this before. Other folks have mentioned this. You know, Ruby Sales, a great social justice leader, has talked about, you know, Trump as this death cult. But this is really cultic behavior. And I would not be surprised if not only did some of these people not complain about this, but some of these people actually felt grateful that they were got to be at this rally, that this was such a special thing. And, you know, the fact that they almost froze to death was almost like some kind of weird badge of honor for, you know, that it was just well worth it. And this phenomenon of doing something and getting involved in something that goes against your basic interests and is actually abusive, where this leader is abusing you, all in the name of something good. This is what happens in cults all the time. I mean, this is the basic reality of what cults are about. And you mentally completely give over your sense of agency and your knowledge of, you know, self-care, what is good for you, what is bad for you. That internal barometer that says, oh, you know, this is not good. Like, I shouldn't keep doing this. And it's, it's really, really, impressive.
Now, we were talking about this a little bit before, and, but just the psychology of this. So like an abusive relationship is all the time. Part of what happens if I'm abusive towards someone else in a relationship, it makes them feel lower about their worth and it elevates my worth. And so this fun anecdote, I used to work for InterVarsity, which I'm going to dump on them now, which I have all kinds of reasons to dump on them, including for their stance on sexuality. But I worked with them for a time and I was required to write a paper on evangelism. And in some sort of protest, I decided to use the book, The Game, which is about picking up a pickup artist book, because to me, I saw the manipulations of evangelism as similar to trying to pick up women. And what the game generally does, the core practice of this sort of pickup artist thing is called negging. Like you go up to a group of women and you give your attention to all of them except for the one you want to pick up. And the one you want to pick up, you kind of treat like garbage. And that makes her self-worth go down. And then it elevates your worth, makes you more desirable. And then you swoop in and pick her up. This is the sort of like manipulative toxicity that I think Donald Trump just does naturally. Like, right. So this is, so the fact that it is this naturally, that's why things like this happen in North Carolina and in Omaha without it being intentional even. It's just, he's constantly elevating himself and putting other people down as a tactic. Yeah. And it's worked for him his whole life. So of course it works for him now.
Yeah. All right. So we've got some
great comments. This is a
great comment.
This is a nugget of truth from Gus. Someone is going to watch this episode first, going to see you deadpan about robot birds and eating kids and just turn it off. I didn't say eating kids, drinking their blood. Get it right, guys. There are so many reasons to hate this show. You're heretics, communists, etc. They're not even going to get the good stuff. Just as a response, I don't know if Dirk realized, I don't know if this is serious or not. Dirk says, shut up, Gus. Just for anyone watching, Gus has been on the show twice. He's a good friend. And so his mean words there were meant with love. And, or he's doing what Donald Trump does, and he's trying to make us feel bad in order to elevate his work. people walking back on the roadways would cause the roadblocks.
I think that's what Dirk was saying. Shut up about
either one.
But
like
either one. But I want to meet that person that, you know, just watches that first 4 minutes and thinks we're insane and turns it off. So, yeah. Gus, if you meet that person, please send them our way.
Statistically speaking, a new viewer is likely just to be one new viewer that we get at a time. So, Karen writes, martyrdom in the Trump cult. And there is a sense of martyrdom. Like, we were talking about this before. So this phenomenon of tickets being sold all at once at midnight, right? This is also a manipulation tactic by companies. So then you have people like lining up outside the theater to buy their tickets for Star Wars episode 4 or whatever, or 3. And what happens is we don't think, oh, that's an abusive tactic. What we think about is like, look, I am one of the worthies who stood outside in the cold to get my ticket to prove my virtue and my commitment.
Yeah.
And this makes me closer to the object of my affection. So people suffering to hear Donald Trump, it's like the thousands following Jesus just to touch the hem of his garment. Whereas instead, yeah, Jesus feeds them because he feels bad for them, but Donald Trump just takes a cold shit in their face. This is the difference between
Yeah. Well, and we were also talking before that it's not, there's no coincidence, or it's an interesting coincidence, maybe I should say, that the guy who founded this Nexium sex cult thing was sentenced this week. Yeah. And you know, like Donald Trump, I mean, this guy is obviously a total psychopathic narcissist. You know, he's completely unrepentant, doesn't see anything that he did wrong, thinks, you know, the prosecutors are just out to get him. And he used the exact same tactics and techniques, right? Told all these women they were shit and, you know, they had to do all this stuff. And the other thing that cults, of course, do, and this is the thing about these rallies, right? It's a very similar phenomenon, right? There's always this secret knowledge. Like, as you get closer to the center, you know, you get the secret goodies. And, of course, this was at the heart of, you know, Trump University, which was this complete scam, right? And it was like, come to Trump University and get the secret knowledge of being this great businessman.
Just like, and then, of course, marketing. Yeah.
And then, of course, you get there and it's just like all these, you know, it was nothing. There was nothing there. So
Dirk is apologizing. Sorry, Gus. Sorry, me no good at English speaking. wink. So I don't know if that's sincere or not. But I appreciate the love you guys now have for each other.
Yeah.
Finally, like I've been telling Dan, like, why don't we get more negative comments? I want pushback. Because where there's heat, there's fire, and that only brings up the ratings. So here it is.
There we go.
Betty writes, and I appreciate this. This is actually will give us a lot to talk about. We'll try to engage respectfully. Why Donald J. Trump? He may not be a moral man, but he is pro-life, pro-Christians values, pro-Israel. He allows you to worship at your church without fear and persecution. He is pro-alliance. He is pro-law and order. That's a great term. He and his administration could influence other nations for a God-honoring platform to fight against communism and the globalist agenda. Thank you for giving us a lot in that.
I just assume block her and move on.
But no, this is, I think it's worth, you know, there's a lot in there, but this is one of those things. This to me illustrates the point. Like Donald Trump, I don't believe he cares about any of those things.
Yeah, he isn't any of those things.
Now, let's give him the benefit of the doubt and say he cares about some of those things. Like, we know that 10 years ago, he was pro-choice 10 years ago. His shift to pro-life happened when he became a Republican, which wasn't that long ago. So this is what the Republican Party does. They don't really care about these things, but they use them because they know that a certain subset of society does.
Well, and, you know, this is also the phenomenon of cult brainwashing, right, is that basically you get to the point, I mean, there is not a single sentence in there that is either truthful or accurate or of value. And yet, you know, I'm sure this person, Betty, believes all this very sincerely. And, you know, the truth is, right, that the people who were at Waco or at Jonestown or whatever, I mean, they all really believed this stuff. You know, all these women who were at NXIVM, you know, they all believed this stuff. I mean, this is the reality and the phenomenon of cultic behavior. Mm-hmm. It's not that people do not authentically believe these things. I mean, they do. And they have entered into this mindset, you know. And I was, before we got going, I was telling Mark this story about a friend of mine who's making some calls to voters in North Carolina, and he talks to this woman who sounds a lot like Betty, you know, sort of all the Fox News, you know, nonsense. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, this person says to this woman, well, what are your major issues that you're concerned about? She said, well, I'm very worried about my Social Security and my Medicare. And the woman said, well, do you know that, you know, Trump signed this order getting rid of these things, and specifically has said that he is going to eliminate Social Security and Medicare taxes next year, and that's going to put your stuff at risk? And the woman just said, well, no, he's not going to do that. Right. This is in spite of the fact that he actually said it. I mean, it's not as if Biden is making it up and said it. I mean, Trump has said it. Trump has done it. And so that's the interesting thing about a cult, is that your leader can do all sorts of completely insane things. And once you've absorbed that mindset, you don't even see it. It's like it's just not there. You know, this person just simply becomes God.
Well, and, you know, to be fair, just to give some balance to this, because, you know, I'm all about balance, Dan.
I know. You're very fair. You're very fair person.
And balanced. I try to avoid extremes in anything. presidents serve as this giant screen for our projections. So, like, this isn't just... isn't just because Trump is so bad. It's just human nature to project your desires onto a leader. And this, we saw this with Obama. Like, the number of friends I had that really believed Obama was fundamentally had the same values as him. And so when they saw him increasing the troops in Afghanistan by 30,000 people or not closing Guantanamo, they were so connected and invested in him that they really believed that his hands were tied and he was doing the best he could, not that he was committed to sort of neoliberal imperialism, which he was. Mm-hmm. There's no evidence that he actually I really would like to take the troops out, but I can't. My hands are tied by the deep state. Like, that's not true. So everyone does this. Now, the problem is when you do this, like, at a certain point, Obama supporters were able to support him in a political way while still challenging him. And I don't see that happening. Like, I think the more
it becomes
really cultic when you're not able to criticize him, or if any criticism comes, causes you to engage in a sort of panic that it's actually challenging your sense of identity, who you are.
Well, and part of what creates that inability to criticize, right? And, you know, more and more people are talking about this. I mean, the environment inside the White House is terrifying, right? It's unbelievably paranoid. It's unbelievably hostile. Everything is about loyalty. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that the cults do, right? They beat you down so badly, and you are so scared of the retribution of the leader or of being kicked out of the cult, right? That it absolutely destroys your ability not only to think critically internally. I mean, first it destroys your ability to be critical externally, but then it also destroys your ability to be critical internally. Mm-hmm. You know, and I mean, we see this all the time in religions, right? You know, everybody says, like, well, gosh, you know, why did the Catholic abuse scandal go on for so long, all of this? Well, because, you know, within that particular style of Christianity, mm-hmm. you know, you're literally told that these priests are, you know, they're God. They're this emissary of God. You don't criticize them. And when you're also told that you're this horrible sinner that is not worthy of anything over and over again, And you actually repeat that, right? As part of the communion liturgy, you have to repeat that. It destroys your ability internally to think critically, even to yourself, even in the silence of your own mind, to like say, okay, this is really screwed up. Like I've got to get out of here. I got to do something about this. And, you know, then when the leader finally says, hey, let's all drink, you know, arsenic and die. You're like, okay, sure. I'll do that.
Well, and this is, it's not just the Catholic Church. I mean, we all know this.
Oh, but, yeah.
So mega church, I'm thinking of Willow Creek, Bill Hybels. Anytime you have a system where within the mega church scheme of things, it's all centered around the talented man. So like church attendees can come and go, staff can come and go, but as long as you have the talented one at the center holding it together, that's the secret sauce. He's the Don Draper, like if you watch Mad Men, like the talented person. Now, this is why I'm an anarchist, because I honestly believe any average person on the street would be a better president than Donald Trump, no matter, even if they had the same views. Because we buy into this idea that the elevated leader is what holds everything together, and it's not true. And what happens with lots of systems is people give over their agency to a leader. Sorry, mm-hmm. That's kind of like one step towards being cultic to begin with. And then yeah. The more abusive it gets, let's just get all some right. Comments. Dirk was being sincere. It's hard to tell the tone and stuff, but if I didn't know Gus and just read his comments, they would seem very negative. So I understand. But now now it's all clear. Karen writes, being loyal to Trump is what he demands of his acolytes. Crime family mob tactics, Rico Don. The black woman New York AG will be waiting for him November 4th. Yeah. Amen.
Well, and there's...
I hope so.
And in that regard, though, there have been some very interesting articles coming out recently about, how Trump is basically a flight risk and he's just going to leave the country to someplace where he can't get extradited.
I bet you Russia will take him.
I mean, wouldn't surprise me at all.
Otherwise, how are they going to get their money back?
That's right.
Catherine writes, I can kind of see how Trump supporters rationalize being okay with getting stranded in the cold and separate that experience from him. We have rhetoric in the U.S. that so normalizes lack of accessibility for events, and we are encouraged to see things like transportation as an individual responsibility. You're right. I mean, he provided free busing to get there. Like, what more do you people want? You should be grateful that you got that for free.
You can call
Uber.
Yeah. Really, you can see somebody just going, yeah, well, it's my fault. I didn't wear warmer clothes.
Ugh. Karen writes, they have drunk the Tang.
Yeah.
Catherine says, a frequent part of cult thinking is being encouraged to see discomfort as a separate individual responsibility when it is actually being caused by behaviors of the cult.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's what
your ability to handle that suffering shows your commitment to the cause and how worthy you are to be part of the elect.
Right. And we had actually jumped over these comments earlier. Karen made this comment about martyrdom and the Trump cult, and Kathleen had said it reminds me of hazing.
Reminds me of
hazing. Yeah. And right. I mean, hazing is that exact phenomenon. If you want to get in to the special, if you want to get into the special wisdom circle, you have to get hazed. And then you feel really good that you made it.
Mm-hmm. Ellen writes, if you develop a strong vitriol against them, you can't become them without a reconciliation, humiliation, or a bunch of vertigo. And Adam writes, it's time for them to drink the Wu-Tang. I'm with you, Adam. Nice connection with previous yesterday's conversation.
Yeah, there we go.
I mean, there's so much about Trump. There's reasons why Trump is able to attract evangelicals. It's because many evangelicals, and I was like this for a long time, are already primed for cultic thinking. You just have to, people all the time point out the inconsistence between evangelical values and Trump. But no, because evangelicalism has those values, but it centers around authority. And so Trump can step into that. But like even within... I've seen memes and comments about this. The being an evangelical, you're supposed to reach out to others. And then if they treat you like crap for you being an obnoxious jerk when it comes to evangelizing, you take that as a badge. Like, I suffered because of the gospel. Mm-hmm. So this is why evangelicals have this persecution complex. Like, they can oppress other people, but then when the people get upset, they feel like I'm being persecuted. Now, you just put that over into Trump. Even Mary, who commented earlier, probably feels frustrated that we took issue with her comment, but feels more validated that she's on the right path, because when you're on the right path, you experience persecution. And we are persecuting her for saying that Donald Trump is full of crap.
Right. Yeah. Betty.
Is it Betty?
No, it was Sorry. Betty.
Sorry.
But, yeah. Yeah, no, and that dynamic is very, very powerful within cults, where they, you know, they say to people, okay, look, you know, people are going to come and tell you this is bad, right? Your family is going to be come and tell you this is bad. Your friends are going to come and tell you this is bad. That's just a sign that it's good, right? That's a sign you're getting somewhere. That's a sign that you're being persecuted because you have this knowledge that the rest of the world doesn't have.
Right? Again, it's not just Trump supporters that think this way. Like, every person
as I said,
third party is like, wow, both liberals and conservatives are upset me. I must be doing something right. Like, that's not evidence you're doing something right.
Yeah.
By itself, that means nothing. That's an aesthetic argument.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's, you know, and all of this is a mirror of the ego process, right? We talked a lot about formation, the ego process. That's all a mirror about it. I mean, one of the things, you know, my self process, I mean, this is why people get defensive, right? This is why people are not open to feedback, right? Because there's all this internal mechanism that basically says, hey, look, you know, I'm doing the right thing. And if somebody else thinks I'm doing the wrong thing, then that's actually a sign I'm doing the right thing. Which, yeah, in and of itself is nonsensical, but is a very powerful and persuasive internal argument.
No, and you know, this we could, I mean, we're past time, but it'd be interesting to then engage Jesus's words about consider yourself blessed when you face persecution. How do we understand that dynamic in light of what we're talking about? Maybe that'll be something we talk about another time, because everything we said about Trump, I could hear people saying, well, Jesus was like that. I don't think he was, but it'd be fascinating, since we do talk about spirituality here, not just politics, to then run back and talk about how to think about Jesus in light of this. Food for thought for another time. Last couple comments. Trumpism and QAnon are Gnostic. That means that they have the secret sauce that you have to be part of the elect to be able to be privy to. Adam writes, there has been so much groundwork laid for this moment. These weird prophecies from, why is it patriotic education or whatever? Decades of talk about these strong men of history being chosen by God. And so here we are, and folks have been indoctrinated by this rhetoric, and anyone could have just walked into that role. So we're basically been, this is why it's so important for us to understand Trump as the culmination of trends rather than some sort of unique aberration. Because if it wasn't, if it wasn't Trump, it'd be someone else. And we're going to get, things are going to get worse unless we deal with the core problems. The way we think about authority, American exceptionalism, the weird relationship between conservative religion and politics in America, our fear of socialism, individualism, racism as our root sin, all these sorts of things culminate towards fascism, capitalism, like all this stuff. We have to deal with the roots of things. And this is why, you know, in a week, less than a week now, Trump gets out. That'll be nice and good, but we still have the same core issues. And if Trump stays in, it's not like, I mean, there's going to be, hopefully things will change for the better, but if they don't, well, either way, we'll still have the core issues that we have to resolve. So that's my pep talk.
And so just as all those things culminate towards fascism, Thursday culminates towards Fascism Friday. So that's what we'll be back with tomorrow. Because
the other 4 days of the week that we do this, we don't talk about fascism. We're so positive Monday through Thursday that we have to weigh it down with serious negativity on Friday just to balance it all out. Final word from Adam.
Final word from Adam.
And then you have quote unquote liberals being accused of brainwashing our children or whatever. It's all projection.
And that's what one of my teachers used to say, right? That you have to remember, that everything is projection. So there you have it. And have a great rest of your day. You know, stay safe from the robot birds. Mm-hmm. We'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, everyone.